grupobaugan.com.
Las mañanas son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Welcome back. All right. Welcome back. By the way, Nacho, I have a question. I had lunch yesterday with two people who listened to this program and listened to the extra hour. And they were asking me about the music that we play for the extra hour at the beginning and in the middle, at the break. Can you put on just for a second so I can identify the songs? The initiation, the beginning and the end. Is it three different pieces or two different pieces? Two. Let's hear one of them so I can...
Esta es La Hora Extra con Richard Vaughan.
Okay, and the next, and the other one is?
La Hora Extra con Richard Vaughan.
First one was more difficult to compose. The second one was easy to compose and then to orchestrate. It wasn't very difficult. But the first one, it wasn't difficult, but it took more time. All right. But I don't compose music anymore. Well, I do, but I don't develop it. I mean, every day, usually I spend about between 5 and 10 minutes only on the piano. When I finish dinner, I get up and go to the piano and I sit down there. I play things I've never played. I just start fooling around. To fool around means, no hacer el tonto, but to fool around on the keyboard and picking out leitmotifs. And so it's very easy to start something that is promising. But then to compose a piece of music is not difficult from the technical point of view. It's difficult from the perseverant point of view because you need to work. You need to persevere. Voy a desarrollar esto. And it can take you 2 or 3 months to develop a piece. But it can take 1 minute to create the molecule from which that piece can spring. Spring is brotar, en este caso. Una pieza musical puede brotar de una sola molécula, una secuencia de tres notas. Pa, 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 ra, ta, ra, ta. And you can play just 3 notes, and that's it. One time, I said to my son, Jack, play 3 notes on the piano, just any 3 notes, and I'll create a piece from that. and he played a crazy three notes. But there's a piece. It comes from that. You know, on the pieces I have, Nacho, on the pieces that I have, you know, I think it's number eight on my music. I can't remember. And we'll have to take it to the middle of the piece where that comes in, where my son. Let me hear number. Do you have the pieces in front of you? Yeah. Yeah, they'll say they. Maybe number eight, I think, but I'm not sure. Let me hear number eight. Let's hear it for a minute. No. Let's go to number seven. Let's go backwards. Let's try number seven. No, I think it's number nine. Now that I think about it. Try number nine if you haven't opened up number seven. Yeah, it's number seven. Let's try number nine. Although number seven is very pretty. Ay, son la nueve. Okay. Oof. Try number 10. Let's go up. Number 10. There. That's it. Es muy oscuro. Yeah. Leave it. Déjalo así un momento. Yeah. But it's a very dark sound. And it has an organ that goes with it. Later in the piece, there's a segment that is based on what my son played. My son played three notes. I said, play any notes on the piano, and I'll try to compose a song based on those three notes. And he played three dissonant notes, disonantes. I said, my God. Go to the middle. A ver si lo encontramos. Go to the middle. And ahora vendrá. That'll come. In a minute, it'll come. Yeah. Start right now. Second, the three notes. Thank you. I wanted to give Augusto time to play the guitar. Augusto works with me here and has been working for many years, and he's one of the guitarists, of the two guitarists in that section. Ba, 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 da, ba, da. So you can compose anything. You can create anything if you put your mind to it. If you put your mind to it, you can do anything. You can write a book. You can write a novel. You can compose music. You can do anything. If you put your mind to it, si te lo propones, proponérselo. We say to poner tu mente a ello, literalmente, to put your mind to it. And you can do it. People don't believe in their own capabilities. Everybody has capabilities. Maybe some people are born without, they don't have a good musical ear. Fine, not in music, but they can do other things. You would be surprised how deep and broad your potential is to accomplish things in life. Everybody has the potential to surprise others and to surprise themselves. But most people simply don't have enough confidence in themselves. They don't believe in themselves sufficiently to try to move from point A to point B, and to be creative, to do things, to that you have to do it. And if you create something, put a barcode on it. Ponle un código de barras, which means publish it. No dejes que se marchite en un cajón. All right? The things, your capabilities. Don't allow your own capabilities, your own capacity, your own potential to wither. Que se marchite tu potencial. Aunque no se realice nunca. Yes. It's a pity. It reminds me of General Patton, you know, the famous American general in the European theater of the Second World War. He died only a few days after the end of the Second World War in a Jeep accident. It was crazy. In a Jeep accident. And when he went to heaven, he was at the gate, and there was St. Peter, San Pedro. And he said, "Hey, St. Peter, I have a question." And St. Peter said, "Well, shoot, what's your question, General Patton?" He said, "Who was the greatest general in history?" And St. Peter said, "Well, a shoemaker in the south of Italy who didn't believe in his potential to become a general. And he didn't live in a time with wars, which means the circumstances were not right, but if the circumstances had been right and he had believed in himself, he would have become the greatest general in history, according to St. Peter. But he never realized his potential as a general. So he was the greatest general, according to St. Peter. For me, who is the greatest general in history?" That's an interesting question. You know, the greatest, I would almost say Genghis Khan, as bringing different dispersed tribes together, forming them into an army. And when you study the conquests of the Mongols during the life of Genghis Khan and during the following generation after his death, using the same strategies and tactics that Genghis Khan had developed, I think he's probably the greatest general in history. But that's an interesting question. There have been a lot of very great generals in history. But Genghis Khan was very, very good strategically and tactically. Also Alexander the Great, Alejandro Magno, Julius Caesar, then others. But I think for me, the two greatest as of generals I know, maybe I'm not familiar with the Chinese generals during the 3,000 years of Chinese wars. I'm not familiar with it. But in any case, how long does it take? How long did it take you to wash your hair this morning? It took me 3 minutes to wash my hair. How long did it take you to create Vaughn Radio? To create this radio station, it took me, I would say, about 5 months. From start to finish, you know, to start from scratch, the construction of two studios and a control room and a waiting room, plus the hardware for signal transmission of the signal. Yeah, it took me about 5 months and half a million euros. you know, taking a risk. Okay. How long did it take you to get to work this morning? How long did it take me to get here? Let's see. I left home at 6:35 and I got here at 10 minutes past 7. So it took me 35 minutes to get here. How did you come? How did I come? Well, I came by bus. What bus did you catch? I caught bus number 27. Where did you catch it? I caught it on the Castellana. Well, what part of the Castellana did you catch it on? Well, that there's a bus stop right on the corner of Jorge Juan in Castellana, just next to the, what do you call it? It's the Hotel Villa Magna. Right there, there's a bus stop, just before you reach the Bahía Mismo. So I caught it there. And where did you get off? I got off in Cusco, the Plaza Cusco here in Madrid. And what did you do on the bus? Oh, I read some emails on the bus. Was the bus crowded? No, not too much, no. Were you able to get a seat? Yeah, I was able to sit down. Did anybody recognize you? I don't know. I don't think so. But, yeah. But they recognize me, even wearing the mask. People recognize me. Yeah, the other day, a man, about a 80-year-old man, on the bus, when he was leaving the bus, turned and waved, said, adios, profesor. In that case, I was standing, and so he recognized me. I suppose it's easy with my eyes and my forehead, the color of my hair, my gray hair. So I suppose it's easy for people to recognize me. At lunch yesterday, two people, one of the waitresses, we had lunch in La Taberna de Daniela, you know, which is a well-known restaurant. Well, it's a chain of restaurants. They have three or four in Madrid for cocido madrileño. It's a very good restaurant, very good restaurant. And one of the ladies working there as a waitress and things, she said, my daughter teaches English in a primary school. And I say, pues le acompaño sentimiento. Yes, as you think. But she sat down. I said, sit down here next to me and give me your cell phone. And I told one of my friends at the table to take a picture of us. I said, we'll take a picture together, you and me, to give to your daughter. And your daughter can show it to the principal, school principal. Listen, my mother was having lunch yesterday with Richard Vaughn. And so, yeah, always to do a good deed, to do something nice. And so she was really happy to be able to take a picture of herself with me to her daughter who teaches English. And so, had fun. Good paella, no, good cocido madrileño. Oh, you know, I'm going to create a cocido. There's a type of cocido andaluz, and I can't remember what it's called. Let's see, cocido manchado, no, cocido. Let's see if, I don't know. Let's see, cocido andaluz, sí, pero ¿cómo es? Cocido boyacense, no. I have to go, you know, when you can't remember something, I put cocido, and then the next word, the first letter, A, B, C, D, to try to find the word for it. Cocido. Oh, I can't remember what it's called. A, B, C, D, F, G. Cocido de garbanzos, no. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Cocido hueso, no. H, I. No. H, I, J. Cocido japonés, no. H, K. Cocido Carlos Arguiñano, no. H-I-J-K-L, cocido la Daniela, no, in this, o la Baniego, which is in Cantabria, it's very good. L-M, cocido madrileño y montañés, L-M-N, cocido negro, I've never tried it. Okay, N-O, cocido olla, no. O-P, cocido pozuelo, cocido paraguayo, no. Nope. Cocido portugués? I've tried that. I've eaten cocido portugués. It's with bacalao. Oh, it's very good, by the way. PQ, cocido quemado, no. QR? Nope. S? I can't find it. ST? U? V? I can't find it. Cocido vegano. Wow. VWXYZ. I'm not going to find it. No. Cocido Zalacain. Cocido Zamorano. I've never tried Cocido Zamorano. I'll have to try it someday. Legumbres en trillo. Yes. Cocido Zamorano. All right. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a cocido. And I'm going to take the other ingredients. The ingredients, not the garbanzos, not the chickpeas, but I'm going to take the morcillo and the morcilla and the chorizo and the tocino, and I'm going to put it in a triturador, trituradora, and brrrr to a casino pulpa. And then I'm going to mix it with the garbanzos. And so the dryness of the garbanzos. And la palabra garbanzo exists in English, by the way. It's a technical word. Usually we say chickpeas. Say como guisantes de polluelo. Chick. I don't know why we say chickpeas, but the word garbanzo exists. Garbanzo. Yes. Garbanzo, garbanzo. Garbanzo, garbanzo, let down your hair. Garbanzo. Definition. Chickpea. Garbanzo beans, we say. But the cocido, the different cocidos in Spain are delicious. It's funny about certain words. I've heard the word for ese cocido andaluz, que no recuerdo su nombre. I've heard it 20 times. People said it 20 times, and 20 times I forget it. And I can't remember. Cocido. During the break. In 2 minutes, I need to take a break. So during the break, I'm going to find what it is. You know, the type of cocido. Okay. Tipos de cocido. Let me see if I can find under this. Maybe I can find the different types. Tipos de cocido. Okay. Let's look. Maybe they will give me a list. Let's see. Cocido andaluz. Pringa. Ahí está, la famosa pringa. That's it. Pringada. Cocido pringado. Pringa. La famosa, yeah. Cocido andaluz, cocido en sopa, etc., etc. All right. Es característico la famosa pringa. Una masa. Uy. Una masa con los restos de carne, tocino, jamón o chorizo que se utilizan para untar el pan. Pringa. And it's delicious. It's absolutely delicious. It's out of this world. Se dice en inglés, fuera de este mundo means es divino. It's out of this world. The cocido en pringa. But I'm going to develop my own cocido. Cocido tejano. I'm going to develop Texas cocido. I'm going to develop cocido oklahomiano or tejano. Yes. El cocido de la América profunda. And I'm going to create it. I'm going to develop my own recipe. And if I really like it, said, wow, this is delicious, then I'm going to invite other people to try it. Because sobre gustos no hay nada escrito. I need to make sure. Other people will say, woof, too much bacon fat. Demasiado tocino. Too much bacon fat. Yeah, it's too heavy. It's too rich. Or too much chorizo, too much morcillo, or too much morcilla. Because the morcilla, the black pudding, has a very strong flavor, etc. So you need to be careful. Sometimes many people prefer cocido without black pudding, without morcilla. So whatever. And you can include tuétano as well. Depend. But then I'll have people try it. And if everybody likes it, well, then I'll open a restaurant when I retire. With only one dish, cocido tejano. All right. Okay, I'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Richard Vaughn again. My recent masterclass in Ristorante Vicky was a resounding success, standing room only. I want to thank all of you for supporting me in our return after 18 months of pandemic. Now let's do it again, this time in our previous location in La Politecnica de la Castellana. On Tuesday, on Tuesday, November 30th, at 7 p.m., I will be in La Escuela Técnica Superior de Ingenieros Industriales, la UPM, la Universidad Politécnica de Madrid, Salón de Actos. It's the same location as the Museo Nacional de Ciencias Naturales. The address is José Gutiérrez Abascal, number 2. Ojo, José Gutiérrez Abascal, no José Abascal. Number 2, there's easy parking, public parking, right in front of the building. So, I hope to see you on Tuesday, November 30th, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. in La Politécnica de la Castellana. Entrada libre y gratuita. Y el Salón de Actos admite mucha gente. 150 personas con restricciones COVID. 300 en total. So, spread the word. That's right, spread the word. Do you remember the meaning of spread the word? Yes, that's right. Corre la voz. Spread the word. I'll see you there.
Hey, have you heard about our trimestrales? No? Well, let me tell you all about them. The program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura tres meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughan. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class. And the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughan teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at GrupoVaughan.com.
Dispara tu carrera profesional con un máster Vaughan. Dominarás el inglés oral en situaciones cotidianas y profesionales. Aprenderás a escribir correctamente textos y cartas de negocios en perfecto inglés y transmitirás una imagen de profesionalidad. El máster incluye una o dos inmersiones lingüísticas en Vaughan Town, donde practicarás lo aprendido en el máster con angloparlantes nativos de todas partes del mundo. Puedes hacerlo a tiempo completo o a tiempo parcial. Tú eliges la que más te convenga. La versión completa se realiza por videoconferencia e incluye más de 900 horas de inglés y 2 inmersiones en Vaughan Town. La versión parcial se realiza también por videoconferencia o, si lo prefieres, de manera presencial en nuestros centros de Madrid, Barcelona, Valencia y Zaragoza, e incluye más de 500 horas de inglés y una inmersión en Vaughan Town. Todo, por supuesto, en un entorno seguro, cumpliendo todas las medidas de higiene y distanciamiento social. Te estamos ofreciendo el mejor programa de inglés del mercado. Tú decides. Máster en inglés profesional. Para más información, grupovaughan.com.
¿Quieres aprender inglés desde la comodidad de tu hogar? Con las clases de videoconferencia de Vaughan, nuestro método y los mejores profesores llegarán a tu casa, sea donde sea, para enseñarte de una manera más cómoda que nunca. Apúntate ahora a las clases de videoconferencia de Vaughan. See you in class.
Ya está aquí el Black Friday. En Vaughan te ofrecemos un 10% de descuento en nuestros cursos más destacados. Para más información, llama al 91-133-5833 o visítanos en nuestra web grupovaughan.com.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello, welcome back. All right, as you heard during the break, if you listen to the ads or the spot, the radio spots, this coming Tuesday, the 30th, el día 30, este próximo martes, I will be in the Politécnica de la Castellana, José Gutiérrez Abascal, number two. Gutiérrez Abascal, no José Abascal. All right. I'll be there for at 7 p.m. from 7 to 8:30 for the master class, which basically is I'll speak English for an hour and a half or more, commenting sometimes on what I talk about. So it's a good listening comprehension exercise, and it's just a good way to stay in touch with English. So join me this coming Tuesday, the 30th, the last day of November. Yes, the following day is December 1st. Wednesday. Okay, so shall we continue? How long does it take to fly from Madrid to Paris? It takes 2 hours to fly from Madrid to Paris. How long does it take to fly from Madrid to London? The same, basically 2 hours. But London's farther. London's farther from Madrid than Paris. Yes, okay, fine. If you push me, I would say it takes maybe an hour and 55 minutes or an hour and 50 minutes to fly from Madrid to Paris, and maybe 2 hours and 5 minutes to fly to London. Because once the plane has reached cruising speed, it's pretty quick to both places. And how long does it take to walk from your house to the bus stop? You said you used the bus, right? Yeah. And this morning, did you use the bus? Yeah, I told you in the last half hour. I came on bus number 27 up the Castellana. How long did it take you to get to the bus stop from my house? Well, it took me, I don't know. Let's see, I left home at 7:35. Excuse me, I left home at 6:35 in the morning, this morning. And I got to the bus stop 10 minutes later, 6:45. I think I got there about 6:40. I think it took me about 12 minutes to walk to the bus stop, a 12-minute walk. Well, how far is it? I don't know. It's about 1 kilometer, I think. 1.2, something like that. Let's see. So far today, I have walked 2.4 kilometers. I think it's about 1.2 kilometers. Yeah, 1,200 meters. So I walk. I walk more than a kilometer before 7 o'clock in the morning. And then the bus takes me every day, every morning, up here to the Cusco Square, Plaza Cusco. And I get off the bus and then I walk here. Well, how long does it take you to walk from the bus stop in Cusco to your office? To my office? Well, let's see. I think it takes about 6 minutes, 6 or 7 minutes. So it's about half the distance, you know, that I walk. So I would say maybe it's about 600 meters, something like that. So by the time I sit down in my office and have my second coffee of the day, so you have two coffees before you start your radio show. Yeah, I have a coffee at 5:30. I get up at 5:30. I used to get up at 5:40. Now I get up at 5:30. And why do you get up 10 minutes earlier than before, than you used to? Well, I used to get up at 5:40 because I had a car, and so it was quicker. It only took me 15 minutes to get here. Now it takes me from door to door. It takes me 30. Well, it used to take me 20 minutes from door to door. You know, the moment I walk out my door, walk to the garage, get into my car, start the car, exit the garage, the parking garage, and drive here, park downstairs, get out of the car, come upstairs, and go to my office. Despacho, from door to door. Probably took, I would say maybe 23 minutes, something like that. And it takes from door to door 35 minutes. Because now that I use public transport. So I need to get up a little bit earlier. So I get up 10 minutes. But why do you need to get up at 5:30 if you leave home at 6:30 or 6:35? Why do you need an hour? Well, I need about 15 minutes to get ready for work. You know, to brush my teeth, take a shower, and get dressed. and leave home. It takes maybe 15 minutes. Yeah. But what do you do the other 45 minutes? Oh, I check the news on the internet. Well, what kind of news do you check? Well, I check the news in the United States and in Spain and in the world. And I check some sports scores. For example, yesterday in the United States, I checked the basketball, college basketball scores. And but not the NBA. I like college basketball more than professional in the United States. Professional basketball in the United States, la NBA, the NBA is, it's almost like a circus, un circo de acrobatas. I mean, really, it's, I don't know. I find it a little bit boring because these players are so athletic that they do acrobatics. And then they are so good now on shooting three-point shots that it's, that more and more basketball is the three-point shot and acrobatics around the area, around the basket. And so I find it too unbelievable, even though it's human. These are humans doing it. But in any case, I prefer college basketball. It's less perfect, which means it's more human, and it's a lot of fun. And besides, college football and college basketball are very popular in the United States. Interestingly, college baseball isn't. Major league baseball, professional baseball is very popular, but not college. So, baseball universitario. But football and basketball, very much. I would say that college basketball is more popular than professional basketball. But that's a very interesting debate. You know, very interesting debate. I'm going to ask that question. I'm going to see what Google says on this. Which is more popular? Which is more popular? College football or the NFL? Let's look. Let's see. Which is more popular? The NFL or college football? All right. And the answer from one person is, I think the answer is really how to measure popularity. All right. How to measure popularity. So it's a good debate. It's interesting because here, El Deporte Universitario, existe, creo. Eh? I mean, Complutense, they have arquitectura for rugby and things, but I'm not very familiar with university sports in Spain. If you get involved in sports, son las federaciones. Federación de tenis, federación de fútbol, federación de baloncesto, atletismo. Y te tienes que federar. It's more bureaucratic. Whereas in the U.S. and Canada, the sponsors of sports are the university, are the schools, primary schools, secondary schools, and universities directly sponsor, organize, and promote sports, competitive sports. And the schools play against each other. I remember when I was when I was in primary school, Carnegie School in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Every week I looked at in the Tulsa World, in the local newspaper, we had the standings. So la clasificación de los equipos of the different primary schools. And so I became very competitive. If you teach a child competitiveness, I think it's very positive. Very, very positive. My grandfather was, well, my father as well. My father took me to sports events when I was very, very young, very little. Maybe 4 years old, he started, or 3 years old. He took me to baseball games, football games, basketball games. He always took me to these games and to track meets, what we call in the United States track meets, que son competiciones de atletismo. Track significa pista. And a meet, M-E-E-T, is torneo o competición. In addition to many other meanings, of course, to track meets. Because I remember that my father and my grandfather were amused one time when I said they hit the ball into the stables when a man hit a home run. Y la pelota fue hasta las gradas. I said, pegó la pelota hasta los establos. And my father said, where did you get the word stables? You mean into the stands. We say the stands, like el graderío, las gradas, we say the stands. Como estar de pie, pero con ese al final, the stands. Yeah. And so, from very, very young age, and my grandfather, when we were living in New York City, and I was only 2 or 3 years old, he visited, he and his wife, my grandmother, my grandparents visited once, and my mother told me that my grandfather, outside in the snow, he said, okay, Ricky, run around the building. And I ran around the building. And he timed it. He said, that's 37 seconds. That's too slow. You can do it better than that. Come on. Run again. And I ran around the building again. And he said, that's better. 36 seconds. Which could be true or could not be true. He wanted me to work harder to improve. And so these, my father and my grandfather taught me or imbued me with a sense of competitiveness, not only in sports, but in board games. Jugando al Monopoly. You know, playing Monopoly, playing chess, playing checkers, damas. Constantly, and my mother too. Yes, constantly, games in which you compete. And so I developed a competitive spirit. And I think that's very positive for children, to develop a competitive spirit. And when you compete, even if you're playing a board game, say juegos de mesa, Monopoly and similar, parchís, you know, we say parchisi in English, you learn to lose as well. You learn to accept defeat. Aceptar la derrota, to accept defeat. So I think it's very positive. Okay, how long did it take you, Richard, to learn how to play chess? I don't remember. I think it took me 10 minutes to learn how to play chess. The basic moves. Now, to learn how to play chess well, I never learned how to play chess well. Although I was a good chess player, but no, I wasn't nearly as good as the chess masters. So I didn't bother to develop my skills with chess. It's too cerebral, and two, you're sitting all the time, and I don't like losing at chess. I don't like to lose at chess. Yeah. I don't mind losing in baseball, in track and field, or in football. I don't mind losing, but I don't like to lose in chess. So I prefer not to play. Although usually I won when I was a kid, but not always. Okay. How long did it take you to get your degree? It took me 4 years and one summer to get my degree. So it took me 4 years, basically. It took me 4 years to get my degree. How old were you when you started? My studies. Higher education. I started when I was 18. How old were you when you finished? I was 22 when I finished. Did you come to Spain during those years? Yes, I did. How old were you when you came to Spain? How old was I? I was 20 when I came here. Did you have trouble adapting to the country? No, I didn't have any trouble adapting to the country. I was an easygoing guy. I can adapt to anything. Easygoing, campechano, happy-go-lucky. Yeah, it was very easy for me to adapt to anything. But, of course, as I told you in the first half hour, there was a cultural difference. When they say, tienes que venir a nuestra casa un día, I say, vale, ¿cuándo? And so I put them in es una forma de hablar. A ver si nos vemos. This approach by Spanish people, which is basically they're not inviting you. It's just a courtesy to speak this way. But foreigners don't understand this at the beginning. They understand that you are actually inviting them. And so they feel they need to say yes or no at that point. Whereas Spanish people just say, yeah. Sí, sí, ya. Ya hablaremos. Ya nos vemos. Ya, ya nos veremos. This type of thing. You know, it's interesting. In English, we also say, we'll be seeing each other. Well, we say this sometimes. Ya nos vemos. Bueno, gracias. Nos vemos. Nos vemos. Is a way of saying goodbye here in Spain. Well, we'll be seeing each other. In English, we will be seeing. Estaremos viéndonos, literalmente. Okay, we'll be seeing each other. Take care. Or I'll be seeing you. You know, see you later. See you soon. See you around. See you around is hasta la vista. Hasta que te vea por ahí en el futuro, por algún lado. See you around. Hasta la vista. You know, do you remember the movie with Schwarzenegger? I think it was Terminator 2. And he says, sayonara, baby, and kills somebody. He uses the Japanese word sayonara, which is goodbye. He says, sayonara, baby, boom. But that's the Spanish translation. Because in English, he doesn't say sayonara, baby. He says, hasta la vista, baby. And then kills the person. Hasta la vista, baby. I don't know if we can find it on YouTube. I'm going to see if I can find it on YouTube. Hasta la vista. Hasta la vista, baby. Yeah. Yeah, you can find this. Terminator 2. Yeah. And maybe we can hear Schwarzenegger say, hasta la vista, baby. And we can hear him say it. Did you have it, Nacho? Yeah? I mean, maybe. Sometimes there's an anuncio. So there's another one that I have in front of me that's only lasts 7 seconds. It's Terminator 2 guion Hasta la Vista Baby on YouTube. And in that one, it's only 7 seconds. And so I think we can hear it.
Hasta la vista, baby.
All right. Hasta la vista, baby. And then he kills him. But in Spanish, they say sayonara. I don't know if we can find it, sayonara, baby. Maybe we can find it, and we can compare, we can listen. There is a sayonara, baby. And it's 16 seconds, it lasts 16 seconds, so we can hear the Spanish. I don't.
Sayonara, baby.
All right. I don't know which one is better. Both sound fine to me. Sometimes the Spanish dubbing is better because when they dub into Spanish American movies or British movies, the dubbers, los dobladores, los que hacen el doblaje, las voces, are professional voices. And so they're very good voices. Whereas the actor himself or herself is not often famous because of his or her voice. For example, the voice of Clint Eastwood in Spanish is very masculine. Yeah, like this. You know, make my day. Come on. Whereas Clint Eastwood speaks like this. He has a high voice. Yeah, but if you say, make my day, come on, make my day. Clint Eastwood, on YouTube, he says, on Sudden Impact, says, go ahead, make my day. Yeah, Sudden Impact, Clint Eastwood. If you can find it, we can hear Clint Eastwood's voice, you know.
Because Clint Eastwood's voice in the Spanish translation is like this. vamos, alégrame el día, or something, I can't remember. But he says, make my day, and it became, that's a very famous line from the history of cinema. You have it, Nacho? No? All right, well, don't worry about it. Then sudden impact, se impacto subito, sudden impact, Clint Eastwood, go ahead, make my day. Go ahead, make my day. We can't find it, but it doesn't matter. Make my day is an expression, alégrame el día. Y se usa, no, normally we use it in a very nice way. Me has alegrado el día, you made my day. Yeah, and Nacho's having some trouble finding it. Go ahead, make my day. And it lasts only 16 seconds. Huh? Es la versión de 16 segundos. Huh? And you can hear it. But I think Nacho's going to have some trouble finding. Sometimes it's not easy to find these things. Go ahead. Adelante, adelante, alégrame el día. He's waiting. Oh, you have it? Let's hear it.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Nacho, put on that little segment to hear his voice again. Timbre de voz. Just that little segment.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Go ahead. Make my day. Now, the dubbing in Spanish would be, adelante, alégrame el día. Or something like that. So you have a completely different voice. More masculine voice. And sometimes it's a disappointment when Spanish people accustomed to listening to the dubbing voice, the Spanish voice, when they switch to the original, say, my God, his voice is totally different. Hi, everybody.
Hello, everybody. Hola a todos. Hola a todos.
Okay. And so, but still, nevertheless, the dubbing is very good in Spain. Darth Vader, which I think was Constantino Este, no, I think. Constantino, ¿cómo se llamaba? Constantino no sé qué. Romero, yeah, Constantino Romero. I think he was Darth Vader, wasn't he? Yeah. And I think, and his James Earl Jones was Darth Vader in English, you know? If we can hear YouTube, Darth Vader, Darth Vader, James Earl Jones, and you can hear his voice. And then we can compare it to Constantino and see which one you prefer. If you can get a quick fix on that, Nacho, we can hear James Earl Jones portraying Darth Vader in Star Wars.
He says, Luke, you are my son.
Do you have it? No? All right. And then we can hear Constantino Romero. Both of them have died. Yeah. James Earl Jones. Do you have it? No? Yeah.
I had a nervous breakdown once.
Lord Vader?
After 14 years on the force, it just came upon me without any warning at all.
Okay, that voice is Darth Vader in English. Now, if you put YouTube Constantino, then you can compare it. Romero, and we can hear his voice, which I think is better. Now, James Earl Jones's voice is very good, but I think Constantino's is even better.
Está aquí.
Te estaré vigilando.
Noto algo, como una presencia que no había sentido desde.
Darth Vader.
All right. I don't know, which one do you prefer? They sound pretty close, huh? They sound pretty close. So it's interesting, but I think Spain is the country with the highest quality dubbing in the world. Although many people say the movies shouldn't be dubbed. But if you remove the dubbing, los subtítulos are the dubbing, people would not watch these movies. The cinema would die in Spain without the dubbing. I'll be back tomorrow. Take care.
Pásate a vernos a la tienda de Vaughan. Sí, ya está abierta. Ven y nosotros te asesoraremos con el material que te puede ayudar a mejorar tu inglés. Con libros especializados en speaking, listening, grammar, vocabulary. Si quieres, te podemos hacer directamente un plan de estudio para que lo puedas hacer en tu casa. Y mejorar esas pequeñas cositas del inglés que tanto te cuestan con los mejores libros de enseñanza de inglés del mercado. No, no exageramos. Tenemos los mejores libros. Ven a comprobarlo a la tienda de Vaughan. Estamos en Madrid, en la calle Orense 75, esquina con Sor Ángela de la Cruz. De lunes a jueves de 10 a 6 y media y los viernes hasta las 5 y media. Y si vives fuera de Madrid o prefieres contactar con nosotros por teléfono, llámanos al 91-444-5844. La tienda Vaughan. Te asesoramos en lo que necesites.